Welcome to the MelissaRx Scripts Podcast, the show that brings you lively conversations with leaders, colleagues, and friends in healthcare, pharmacy, and beyond.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me for the MelissaRx Scripts Podcast. I'm Melissa Muir Corrigan, and I'll be your host. This is episode 55 of the MelissaRx Scripts Podcast, and thanks for listening. We're recording this episode during Women's History Month. I want to give a shout out for the APHA Women in Pharmacy Exhibit and Conference Room. If you're visiting Washington, D.C., plan to stop, see the cherry blossoms, but also visit APHA headquarters and see the conference room, which celebrates the achievements of remarkable women throughout the history of pharmacy. We'll link to more information in the show notes. Also, I'm so honored to serve on the APHA Foundation Women in Pharmacy Committee. Well, now, on today's podcast, it's a real treat for me. I'm going to be talking with Deanne Vales. Deanne and I are going to be discussing many things, including her experiencing navigating change and transitions, along with her passion for helping women, especially in midlife. I'll give you a bit of an introduction to Deanne, and then also let her tell you about herself, her career, and her many varied experiences in life in general. Deanne Vales currently serves as a functional wellness coach and AFMC certified practitioner through the School of Applied Functional Medicine after a 30-year pharmacy career. Wow. Deanne turned to functional medicine to optimize her own health following years of struggling with health challenges and navigating the traditional healthcare system. Trained as a pharmacist, Deanne graduated from Drake University College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences and practiced in multiple clinical settings. Fun fact, Deanne and I were classmates. Deanne shines a bright light and advocates for other women to embrace a journey towards their optimal wellness. This aligns nicely with an earlier MelissaRx Scripts podcast, episode 47, where she talked about health is wealth. Deanne, thanks so much for being here with me today. Before we get into your career experiences, maybe you can talk a little bit about your background, where you grew up, about your family, and your Drake College of Pharmacy experience.
It's an honor to reconnect with you, Melissa, and thank you for this opportunity. I grew up in a small rural community in Iowa, Jefferson, Iowa, and I had lived there since birth, shortly after my birth. My parents moved there for my father to start his entrepreneurial journey and a new tire service business. They had four daughters under the age of six, so I can only imagine all of the risk that they took to start my father's new business. And while I grew up, there was a lot of community involvement, as one can imagine. This was a small community, and we were all involved in the community. My mom volunteered. She was a chiropractor in our churches, and she was a huge support for my dad in his business. And as you can imagine, having four daughters, the teenage years were rather dramatic in our house.
So I really
have empathy for my father because without that estrogen, I can only imagine what he had to experience. And we only had one bathroom at the time. So the small school system and community involvement was so good for me. I was a very introverted and shy child. And so having a smaller school system, I had the opportunity to be involved in a variety of different activities and sports and not get lost. I was involved in music programs as well. And when it came time for me to think about college, I knew that I wanted to pursue pharmacy after looking at some other healthcare options. And Drake was a natural fit for me. I knew going to a large university, I would be easily overwhelmed. And my father had also gone to Drake. So the small campus and classroom sizes really appealed to me. And I'm so grateful for the wonderful education we had, the ability to interact with our professors for additional support when it was needed, the ability, again, to really get involved on campus in a variety of different ways and develop lifelong friendships. So I'm very grateful for those opportunities that helped to shape me for my career and life.
I just Really appreciate your sharing your background. And I didn't realize, I knew you had sisters, but that you had four. So wow, kudos to your parents. And also growing up in a house with one full bath, I hear you. I get that. I appreciate, you know, you used to almost have a line outside the bathroom, like who's next? So, and also I shared in the opening that we are classmates. Drake provided such a good foundation. And when you talk about lifelong friendships, I'm so grateful that you and I reconnected recently. We've had friends together over the years. And I want to give a shout out. I'm wearing Drake blue today. The Drake men's and women's basketball teams are both going to the dance. They're both going to go in the NCAA round for both women and men's basketball. And there are several College of Pharmacy students who play on the women's basketball team. So shout out to them and wish them the best of luck. Well, you know, during the pandemic and beyond, you know, we know that many people explored new hobbies. Some of those were baking, getting outside national parks. I expanded my knitting. You explored Pilates and walks in nature. So tell me more about, like, why is renewal and letting go of the to-do list so important?
Oh, this really hits home for me, and even more so since I've been studying functional medicine. Nature in and of itself is calming and grounding, and there are scientific studies behind how grounding it can be and how beneficial it is for our health. For me, I found or reconnected with my love of nature. I think it's been within me my whole life, but after my divorce, I really needed to reconnect with things that brought me joy. And I was encouraged to through a counselor. I needed to find myself again. I needed to find what I connected with. And I found it in nature. I appreciated the sense of gratitude for God's artistry. And again, I just, that calming sense that I had, it was very therapeutic for me. So again, I always had that. And during the pandemic, I reconnected with that in a much a deeper level. And I'll go into that in a few minutes of why that, again, is so important. For me, Pilates is makes me feel strong, balanced. It incorporates a very purposeful movement, breath work, mental stamina. And as we age, we lose a sense of balance and even flexibility, as I'm sure a lot of women in this stage of life can appreciate. So that just helps me to reconnect. And honestly, it's the first form of exercise that I've ever been consistent with my entire life. And I swear I will never, ever give it up. So I hope there's a Club Pilates wherever I choose to move in my future. During the pandemic, it was June of 2020, I came across SAFM. And one of the courses that I took, the leader taught about how important it is to move from the sympathetic state of fight and flight that we live in this Western world. We go, 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 do, do, do. And we rarely take the time to slow down. Why is that important? Well, when our body is in a constant state of fright and flight, it doesn't feel safe. And we're producing excess cortisol all the time. Cortisol is our master hormone. It overrides our thyroid, our insulin, our sex hormones. It takes over. It is the number one disease driver because our body thinks a tiger's chasing us. You know, we evolved and from cavemen, and we had to be fearful. We had to live in a more heightened state. But even now, when the tiger's not chasing us, our body thinks it is. So learning how to reset our nervous system is very, very important and foundational. It's a pillar of my coaching with midlife women. We need to move and shift our body back to a parasympathetic state of rest and digest. It's not just necessary for our body to heal, but it's also necessary to even digest our food properly. So if we're not digesting our food properly, we're not getting the nutrients our body needs, and the cascade of disease happens. The optimal thing that I work with my clients is to build a stress resiliency toolbox. And this is something I had to do for myself on my healing journey. And while we can take different supplements to help with stress, ashwagandha, L-theanine, all of those things, there are other things that can be even more powerful for us. such as grounding in nature. I call it vitamin N, sunlight, which increases serotonin, breath work. So critical because we often breathe very shallowly. We hold our breath and we need oxygen for so many different metabolic enzymatic reactions in our body. We need vitamin O or oxygen. That is a key piece of regulating our nervous system. You can use guided meditation, even humming and singing, because the vagus nerve runs through our throat. Gratitude journaling. When we focus on things we are grateful for, finding those glimmers of joy, those little pockets of joy in our day, our mind focuses on the positive, and what we focus on grows. You can also use emotional detox journaling, getting out whatever feelings you are feeling, get them out of your head, out of your body. It's very therapeutic. EFT tapping, where we tap on different meridians to help reset our nervous system, has been very therapeutic for myself and for many of my clients. You can also use, as I stated before, mindful exercise, yoga, Pilates, even mindful walking. So paying attention when you're out for a walk, the birds chirping, the wind blowing, the colors, the sky, the clouds, and just letting your mind wander in presence of what is happening around you. Again, the list can go on and on. You can use cold plunges, which are really the rage right now, but you don't have to dunk your entire body into a huge ice bath. You can just put your hands in cold water, splash cold water on your face. There's calming essential oils, playing, having fun, laughing, a funny movie, spending time snuggling and petting your animals. And really, a key one is allowing your body to rest and get proper sleep. So the really important point I want to address here is we can put all the band-aids on our health conditions. We can prescribe more medications, give more supplements, create a new protocol, do all of the things. But if our nervous system is not well regulated and stress is not addressed, it will be temporary healing. So this is a foundational pillar that I address with my clients. And there are many books and scientific studies out there to back this. And one of them that I often recommend to my clients is The Body Keeps the Score.
Wow, so much to unpack in that. And I just want to highlight that I too share a love of nature. And, you know, I spent many years living in DC, which meant many years commuting from my home in Alexandria, Virginia. And I can attest to the grounding walks that I did after work, how important that was. And when I moved back to the Midwest, I continue that. And it actually continue to walk throughout our neighborhood. We have such beautiful oaks, 100 plus, almost, I guess, 200 year old oaks in our neighborhood in the Midwest. And when I go visit my parents' lake house, that is just so grounding. So such an important thing to remember. And that I also appreciate that you shared so many options, because, you know, someone might say, well, I don't live near, you know, nature, or what could I try instead? And I'm really think that it's neat that you found a home in Club Pilates. I would share that I have a similar thing with Bar 3, which I've mentioned on earlier podcasts, and getting ready to celebrate their 5-year anniversary. And I'm 500 plus classes, and just a beautiful thing. Well, you know, you and I have talked about how there's been so much change, and, you know, you've had change in your own life and transformation during this time of transition. And you made a big career shift where you became an AFMC certified practitioner. You know, you've talked about that. Is there anything else you want to add related to your journey over the past few years?
I would. My chapter really started after, like you stated, my 30 plus year traditional pharmacy career came to a close in the fall of 2019. And when my long-term care pharmacy was closed by our corporate office, it was a huge period of transition for me. I was at a loss. I was afraid and fearful of what was to come, because I had worked my entire career in pharmacy, in the last 12 years of it, specifically in leadership and management, and had stepped away from some of the clinical work. I knew that I no longer wanted to continue in management and overseeing people. I wanted to get back to the heart of why I became a pharmacist, and that was to help other people. So I surrendered, I paused, I rested, and I got curious what else was out there. So fast forward 4 years, and as you stated, my life and career looked dramatically different. I personally feel I'm more relaxed and aligned with how I am designed to be as a person and how I want to serve others in my career. So during that shift from traditional pharmacy into functional medicine, it followed a period of profound loss in my life. Some wonder how I started down this path. And if I could just touch on a few touch points in that 3.5 year journey, and even what came before that, and give a few shout outs to mentors that I've had along this journey. So again, my job loss came at a real crossroads and intersection in midlife after multiple life and health challenges. And the period of time between 2016 and 2019, it was a season of profound loss and grief. I did have pockets of joy. I remarried in 2017, so it wasn't all grief. And I want to emphasize that I found pockets of joy and experienced pockets of joy in there. But I had continued health challenges. I had 2 major surgeries, and I had little resolution in the traditional healthcare. I was diagnosed at 21 with polycystic ovarian syndrome, and this had a profound impact on my life. I experienced an infertility journey, adoption journey, and divorce, unfortunately, in my first marriage. So there was a lot of challenges and loss, and that compounded. At that time, I also had young children or young adult children leaving home. I lost my father, and I had to lay off, as the operations manager, multiple staff members and help them transition as I closed the pharmacy as a leader of that long-term care pharmacy. That experience profoundly impacted me.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. So I thought I had to continue being a pharmacist, honestly, and I kept applying and doors closed. Positions I thought I was aligned for, the doors closed. And I heard God reach out to me and say, there's a different way. So I leaned into that. I got curious. And I found on LinkedIn Dr. Alex Barker from the Happy PharmD. And I got some coaching from him that was very insightful to me. And I realized that I had been operating in my zone of excellence. I was a great strategic planner. I was a good pharmacist. I could set up operations and systems. I could manage people, do all the things. That was my zone of excellence. And I read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks and realized I needed to find my zone of genius, where I could be in my flow and practice and help people in the way that spoke to me. And there were other mentors that I came across on LinkedIn as, again, I was searching for new jobs. So I want to give a shout out to Dr. Blair Thielemeyer from the Pharmapreneur Academy. I attended her summit in, I believe, the spring of 2020, and was introduced to so many pharmacists doing non-traditional roles in pharmacy and even beyond pharmacy, where they incorporated their background. So it was very eye-opening to me to see that there were multiple ways to move forward in my career. And then I came across Dr. Lauren Castle, who is the leader of the Pharmacist Functional Medicine Pharmacist Association. She opened my eyes to SAFM and Dr. Melody Hartzer, who operates Farm to Table. And they're both leaders in the functional medicine pharmacist space. So I just want to give a shout out to those who have paved a path for many to create non-traditional pharmacy careers. When I found functional medicine, it was a path to my personal healing. But I soon realized that it was also a way that I could move forward to help others on their health journeys. So God placed that on my heart, and I knew that I wanted to move forward with that dream and that possibility. So many are struggling with traditional healthcare. They're not getting the answers, just like me, that they want. They don't feel well, but they're being told that they do, that there's no reason that they shouldn't feel well, and they're seeking alternative care. So again, along the way, I invested in a lot of coaching. So for anyone looking to transition from their career, whether it's pharmacy or anything else, into entrepreneurship, I highly recommend that you do that. I didn't know anything really about marketing. I had to have a huge mindset shift. It's critical when you jump from a traditional job to entrepreneurship. And getting that coaching has been so valuable to me, not only for my business, but also my personal life. Creating a business stretches you, it challenges you, it tests every limiting belief possible, and imposter syndrome is real. I had to get out of my head and into my body to get past the overwhelm and limiting beliefs that I put upon myself. So just encouragement to take the risks. And as pharmacists, many of us don't take risks. We're not risk takers. And I've seen it with a lot of my colleagues trying to transition. So it's really important to get the help we need to make that transition.
I love those pearls that you've shared, Dee, about getting curious. And also, during a season of profound grief and loss, and I hear you and I feel you. I mean, I'm sorry for some of those things that you had to go through. But it also then opened up this path for you to explore, and a shout out to your mentors and coaches who helped you along the way. And we've talked a lot about entrepreneurship and, you know, pharmacists as members of the healthcare team or interprofessional, but many, many individuals on the podcast, many who have followed these non-traditional paths and just are making such a difference in the world and so happy. I talked a little bit that we're recording our conversation today during Women's History Month. And that's one thing that I've been passionate about is, you know, spotlighting women and encouraging more women in leadership. And we know that women's health matters so much, but we also know there's a lack of historical research and funding for various disease states. So you've shared, and why don't you just in like broad strokes, talk a little bit about, you know, your approach related to women and women's health, and especially women at midlife.
I have advocating for women as a mission in my business, especially for women with PCOS. But honestly, women's health is not supported well. In 2021, the National Institute of Health, which is the largest public funder for biomedical research, invested $41.3 billion in research. However, only 2.4% of this funding went to studies focused on women's health, while 58% went to studies on men's health.
Yep.
Translated. Honestly, ladies, the medications we often take have not been studied in women. There's a variety of reasons for that, for safety issues, especially for women who may become pregnant. But the side effect profiles we see do not reflect what may happen for women. Often, women are gaslighted. They're told their symptoms don't matter, it's all in their heads, their labs are normal. And as a functional medicine practitioner, I look at labs, I cannot interpret them, but I can look at them and educate around them about what is optimal versus what is normal. The reference ranges on labs, just for an example, are for the average person, not necessarily a woman, not necessarily a man. They're not optimal. So you can be, quote, normal, but you may be at the very bottom of the scale on a lab. And they wonder why you have symptoms. So when you're told to just calm down, it's all in your head. Again, women are just told to lose weight, specifically women with PCOS. That'll solve your problems. But they don't look at the hormonal imbalances, including the thyroid, insulin, and cortisol, which not only affect women with PCOS, but also many women in midlife. These play a role in our inability to often shed the excess weight. Also to add, many doctors and even nurse practitioners and pharmacists have minimal training in nutrition and lifestyle unless they have taken it upon themselves to get additional certification. Most OBGYNs have minimal training about perimenopause and menopause, which shocked me, unless they have personally sought out additional certification and training. So I want to be the advocate for women. I want to help educate women about the importance of lifestyle and how they can empower themselves to improve their health and advocate for their wellness. That is a mission that I have. I have learned how to improve my health and wellness, and I want to help other women bridge this gap in knowledge and care and really stand up for themselves and advocate for what they need and want and what aligns for them.
I'm so happy for you that you've taken this on as your mission, and we know that it's so important. And, you know, Maria Shriver is someone out there that I really admire, and she's taken a similar approach related to women's health in general, and with a strong focus on Alzheimer's. She has a family history of that. And I think getting those voices loud and proud about research that hasn't been done, then I think, you know, women really know their bodies and they know their emotions and their spirit. And when something's off, listen to that within your, you know, if your mind, body, spirit is telling you something, and if you don't get the answers, you know, continue out there. I mean, that's my sense, is that's kind of what you're sharing, right?
Absolutely. It's so important that we address the trifecta of wellness. That's what I do with my coaching clients, because what happens, you know, in our body affects our mind. What happens, you know, when we're not aligned in our spirit and our faith affects our mind and our body. And even if you're going to counseling and it's talk therapy, that's wonderful. But if you're deficient in vitamin B6, you're still going to have anxiety. So we have to look at that whole picture. What are all the components? And it's critical for real sustained healing. And you're spot on about listening to your intuition and having an inner knowing.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we've talked about that, we reconnected because we have some mutual friends, and I want to give a shout out to our friend Kelly. You were her roommate in college. And I think that's one of the things we know, that friendship and connection is so important. And especially these last several years, you know, during the pandemic, when there was more isolation, quarantine, you know, people had to stay away. There was so much on Zoom, so much virtually, that staying connected with friends, whether it would be, you know, seeing them in person, getting together for gatherings, texting, you know, funny texts, all those kinds of the things, they make such a difference. But you talked about that joy is so important, and that I know that you radiate joy, you know, vitamin J, as you call it, and especially with your husband. So it's your second marriage. Let's talk a little bit about your love journey. And in our, you know, earlier comments, you did share a few things about it, but I'd, you know, love to hear what brings you joy in your marriage today.
Well, thank you for the compliment about me radiating joy. That is a goal that I have to not only talk about it, but to embody it. So thank you for that compliment. And my love journey is kind of a lot to unpack. So without going into a lot of details, I think it's fair to say, when we're young and we watch the Disney fairy tale, you know, tales, and there's a happily ever after, it's easy to think that our life is going to play out like that. And while I never believed my life would be a fairy tale, I could never have imagined that I would experience a divorce. However, during that time, I learned how deep my faith was. I learned how resilient I was to rebuild my life on my terms. And again, that carried over into when life happened when my career ended, my traditional career ended. At the time, I sought out counseling, and I was reminded of the importance, like I talked about before, to find my joy, which I found in nature, God's artistry, again, connecting with other friends and like-minded people who were looking at life through a similar vein as myself, and finding humor. I learned the importance of filling my wellspring before pouring into others. And what I mean by that is just taking time for yourself to do the things that you truly enjoy and you know that fill you up. Because when we come into a relationship from a place where we are full and we are content and we are happy, we give from the overflow. And again, those are things that I bring into my coaching. But I can tell you, if anyone ever tells you there is only one chance for anything in this life, I am proof they are wrong. I am blessed to have had second chances in love and in my career. And in taking the time to reconnect with myself after my divorce, this allowed me to take the time to find a spouse who best complemented me in my second marriage. We are very different in personality, but we complement one another in many ways. I believe iron sharpens iron. And more importantly, we communicate honestly and hold space for one another to heal and grow because we both had traumas. Some will call them little traumas, some are big traumas, but they're traumas and they impact us. So we have to have compassion and grace when those things come out in difficult challenges in our marriage and find, again, the joy and the gratitude we have to do this life together. So I'm grateful each and every day for the chance to do this do-over. Jeff and I enjoy our two dogs, our pups. They brought much joy into our life. And our first pup entered our life during that season of grief, and the second one was added a year later during the pandemic, and they have just brought us much joy and fun. We love to travel. We have an upcoming trip that we're looking forward to along the East Coast, and we've created a few bucket list items. One of them is to travel to and experience, not just travel to, but actually experience, hike in, and enjoy as many national parks in the United States together as we can in our lifetime.
And just in talking to you, I can hear the joy in your voice and also the, I don't know, kind of like cycle of life, that how you can have a second chance in love and career, and to hear that you were able to, you know, dig deep and figure out like what is important for you. And when you describe that from a wellspring and the overflow, boy, that was such a beautiful image, Deanne. Thank you for sharing that. Because we've heard before, like the announcement on the plane when the flight attendant says you have to put on your oxygen mask first. And I think sometimes, and especially if we are overachievers or achievers, strivers focused on excellence, you know, with analytical backgrounds in science, math, et cetera, it's our to-do list. Go, 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 go. And, yes. You know, this idea of pausing that you've described, that you work smarter through taking care of yourself versus, you know, letting yourself get run down, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of those pieces. And I look forward to meeting Jeff at some point. You know, you live not too far from my family in the Illinois area. So maybe we could meet up when I'm back there at some point. But it is neat to hear. And I also think it's important, and I appreciate your vulnerability, that you didn't expect, you know, for your first marriage to end. And I think when we have loss or endings or transitions, whether they be marriages or, you know, health challenges or a job, there's an author, Chris Carr, that calls these ruptures in life, that we can end up with such resilience, you know, kind of post-traumatic growth. But oh my goodness, when we're in the middle of them, it's so hard to even think or see that. So I appreciate what you've shared and also how you're creating this future, this present that's so beautiful moving forward.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, you and I could just keep chatting, and it's just so fun to catch up and to hear, you know, what's going on with you. But our time together is drawing to a close. And, you know, one of the things that I do in each of the podcast episodes is I ask, you know, while I have you, is there one prescription or life lesson you'd like to share with others or comment on in the spirit of Melissa Rx Scripts?
This is a bit of a challenge for me to narrow it down.
Yeah, I hear you.
After doing a lot of reflection the last few days, I came to this. I would like to invite anyone listening to give yourself permission to pause, to rest, to get quiet, and listen to your inner voice and intuition. When life or circumstances whisper before they become overwhelming. Get curious about your intuition. Listen to your intuition and what it's telling you before life has to roar and you have a health or relationship crisis. A few years ago, I came across a quote by Viktor Frankl that I'd like to share. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. It is a powerful shift when we pause, when we get comfortable being uncomfortable, and take ownership of how we want to respond when life circumstances challenge us. There's always hope when we focus on the glimmers of joy each and every day, when we lean into our faith and nourish ourselves in body, mind, and spirit.
Well, the power of pause. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I could say it any better than Viktor Frankl did. And, you know, Man's Search for Meaning, his groundbreaking book, and, you know, his sharing of his experiences that he went through and how his life progressed. So, Deanne, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with me. This is the Melissa Rx Goods podcast. And I also want to take a breath and just say thank you to my producer, Kate Cruz, who's with Executive Podcast Solutions, who makes the magic happen. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me.